Wolf Rub is the Halligan answer to bland food. Wolf Rub's special blend of spices, sugars, and salt is an award-winning barbecue rub that can be used right out of the shaker bottle on your table, too. Great on ribs, chicken, steaks, even popcorn and peanuts. Try the original Wolf Rub, a perfect blend of sweet and heat, or the new Wolf Rub Bold for an extra blast of flavor. Now available in small or large bottles, visit wolfrub.com to order. www.wolferub.com. Welcome to the Barbecue for You Show, the show where we talk about all things important to the world of barbecue. From big-name interviews to advice on cooking briskets and ribs, you'll find it right here on the Barbecue for You Show. If you're interested in learning more about barbecue, log on to our website at www.bbq-4-u.com. Get connected to the best forum on the Internet. And now, here's your program host, Greg Rimpey.
Greetings from the barbecue capital of the North Coast, Cleveland, Ohio. Wherever you are across this great country of ours, thanks for taking the time to listen to another edition of the Barbecue for You Show. Tonight's guest is in the barbecue sauce business, and if memory serves me correctly, this will be the first barbecue sauce podcast we have done so far, so this ought to be very interesting. He is an advertiser on the Barbecue for You homepage. He is the Sauce King of Chicago, Frank Jackwick, and he joins me right now. Frank, thanks for taking the time out to join me this evening. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thanks for joining me. It's certainly my pleasure. Frank, you are the Sauce King of Chicago, but before we kind of get into the branding name and the barbecue sauce, maybe you could give us a little background about yourself and how you got into barbecue.
Well, I guess it starts out as being a food lover, and then when it comes down to one of those favorite foods, like when somebody will ask, you know, what's your favorite food? People will say pizza or burger or whatever. You know, it would always come down to me for something that was barbecued. So that's probably, you know, the very first thing going along. And then, you know, just my love for a certain restaurant that had a unique barbecue sauce, that kind of added to it. And that was one of the things that helped to lead up to me bringing the product to market.
And since you are the Sauce King of Chicago, obviously you do hail from Chicago. Have you always been a native to that part of the country?
I was actually born in Washington State when my father was in the Air Force, but he was from Chicago, so I've been here all my life.
Okay. Now, a lot of people, at least on the barbecue forum, are into the barbecue sauce and, you know, make their own, or, you know, obviously they're buying some. Is this Sauce King of Chicago barbecue sauce business what you're doing for a living?
Not yet. Boy, I'd sure like it to be, but unfortunately, you know, I just can't do it at this point. So I actually teach photography and do commercial photography, different types of event photography. I do photography as a contract photographer for different organizations. I've taken shots of the space shuttle taking off, commercial work, all different types of things like that. So I'd like the barbecue sauce business to take that over, but at this point, it hasn't reached there yet.
So at what point are you starting to think about selling barbecue sauce?
I guess it goes back to the story of the restaurant, and there used to be a restaurant that was close to where my grandmother lived in Chicago in the Bridgeport neighborhood, and we used to without fail get together for family events during the year. And since my birthday was in September on the 6th and hers was the 3rd, that was kind of our big gathering at the restaurant was there. So it was one of those things that you look forward to every year. And then, you know, as time goes on, my grandmother passed away. The restaurant closed. There was no way to kind of get that unique barbecue sauce. And I tried making it on my own at home just to kind of duplicate that. And then I thought, well, there must be other people out there that would appreciate me kind of bringing that sauce back to market, even though I couldn't really duplicate theirs because I, of course, didn't have the recipe. But right. Really what I was doing was creating the sauce and then kind of a family memory. It was something that, you know, was a family memory thing for me.
Now, was this restaurant that you keep referring back to like a kind of a local or a regional hotbed of barbecue? Was it well known, or was it just something kind of tucked away on a back street?
It was tucked away in a back street, but it was kind of well known. It was around since the 30s. It started out as a bar, and then they started serving food, and then they got to get known for their ribs. And one of their unique things was, in the entryway to the bar, they had a glass dome that was probably about 10 feet around, you know, that was like a Tiffany glass, stained glass dome. And they got to be known as the Glass Dome Hickory Pit. And then they kind of outgrew that bar area and moved to a bigger restaurant-type facility. Mm-hmm. And they're in not too far from where the White Sox play at the park there. So they'd even have, you know, members of the team would come in there. So it was kind of a place. I remember going there a couple times, and there would be somebody from the ball team or somebody from the media in there. So it was kind of one of those, I don't want to say a hole-in-the-wall place because it wasn't kind of like that, but it was one of those places where you never knew who you might see. And, you know, I always like making the trip there, you know, just to get the great food.
So you're thinking about now bringing the sauce back, or, you know, in your best attempt, as you said, you didn't have the recipe. Did you have any idea how to go about starting a barbecue sauce business?
No idea at all. My wife actually works in the food industry. She's a food broker, so she has some knowledge of selling a product or getting it maybe to a store. And that was one thing that I thought, well, I'd have kind of an in there. At least I'd have that type information. But I started researching, you know, how you would get a product to market, how you would make it. And, you know, my original idea was to try and make it myself. You know, I would put together a kitchen and try and get it together. And I wanted to kind of duplicate the sauce if I could, even though I didn't know the recipe. But I had the luck of still having a few people in our family that had gone to the restaurant, so they knew what it tasted like. And I thought about it and thought about it for a long time, and then, you know, doing nothing other than thinking about it. And then I started putting a few things down on paper saying, well, this is what I have to do to get it going. And, you know, the first hurdle I had to cross was the kitchen. And to produce something in your own kitchen has to be certified and has to, you know, pass a health code thing. And I'm trying to think that would be something that would be hard for me to do living in a regular house. So what I did was, I called a few places that made barbecue sauce, and most of them really didn't want to deal with me because I didn't have much information to give them. You know, I didn't really have the recipe yet exactly. I knew what I wanted, or kind of what I wanted it to taste like, but, you know, I didn't have anything concrete. And then I came across one place, and I told the guy the idea, and I think he felt sorry for me a little bit, or maybe he appreciated what I was trying to do, and, you know, that I was, you know, just, it was just me really and my wife that were going to do this. And he says, well, why don't you come in and we'll talk? And that's what we did. And I came in and sat down and told him what I thought it should taste like. And, you know, they have one of these unique people that works there that can really disseminate different tastes. And when you explain something to him or what it's supposed to taste like, they were able to come up with a sample that originally I thought was on its way, but it wasn't quite there yet. And then they continued to work with me, and we made a few more samples. And in fact, it kind of went through that process a little bit. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder when I'm going to kind of wear out my welcome, you know, going back and forth with the sauce. And it was getting close, and he had another sample, and he goes, I think we're getting close. And I said, well, that'll be good. He says, I think we're getting close. So anyhow, when I got the sample, my wife actually went and picked it up, and she brought it back. And when I opened the top of the bottle, I said, I think they got it, because the smell was what, at that point, did it. They were close on the taste, and then the smell kind of brought it together, and then we sampled it. We brought the rest of my family in, and they actually had it narrowed down to like two different samples, and we went back and forth between the two and did a taste test, and we said, okay, here's the one we're going to do. And they actually did a small run for me, and I went to the facility and watched the first bottle come down the line and get filled, and actually fill them at 10 at a time, but I have the first bottle sitting on the mantle at the house here. And it was kind of a really surreal moment because it was all this stuff that kind of came together. And there's other things we can talk about here, but all that stuff came together. And then, you know, there was the bottle of a sauce. And then once I had about 100 cases of it loaded in the back of my van, I said, okay, now I've got the sauce. Now what do I do?
Easy part's over.
Right.
Now, you've kind of entered in. I'm going to kind of go off in a side street here, but there's a lot of maybe good information that I want to get into a little bit. You're talking about actually dealing with a company, almost like a company packer, some type of company kitchen that is actually making the barbecue sauce for you, and you're maybe bringing in some kind of a makeshift ingredients list or saying, hey, I want kind of a smoky thing and kind of a vinegar thing, but also tomato and, you know, this, that, and the other. And right. They're actually able to, as you said, disseminate that out. And, I mean, what kind of a time frame did elapse between you walking in there and that first 10 jars getting filled?
Probably almost a year total. Oh, wow. Because there was other stuff going on in the background. And as they got ready, you know, of course, what else do you need for the barbecue sauce? You need a label. And to get the label, you need an artist to do artwork. And, you know, it has to be printed. And, you know, there's all that stuff that goes on in the background. So at one point when they were kind of ready, I wasn't ready yet because the label wasn't ready yet. Mm-hmm. And I kind of called upon anybody I knew that had any skills that could help me to get the thing going. And a friend of mine is a commercial artist. His name is Art. And I said, this is my idea. I told him. He says, oh, it sounds like a cool idea, you know. And I was waiting for the, what can I do to help? And when he said that, I said, well, it's funny you ask.
Right.
And he says, oh, really? And, you know, he kind of knew that that was probably why I called him.
Right.
But I told him what I needed, and he said, well, get me the specs because there's a, you know, specific thing that the label has to fit in a certain spot and, you know, certain things have to go on the label. And he started working on the prototype. I drew up an idea of what I wanted. And I, about maybe 4 or 5 years ago, when I was out on a photography trip out to Death Valley, California, in one of the oddest spots, came along this old sign that was a crown. And from some local people telling me it was from an old bowling alley or something, but it was kind of, you know, beat up and whatnot, but it still kind of looked cool. And I took a picture of that, and I kind of had it tucked away in the back of my mind. And when I started working on this and coming up with the name, I knew I had the picture of the crown, so I dug through my archives and found that, and I printed that picture out, and then, you know, it fit in with the Sauce King. So I kind of gave him a drawing of what I wanted. And then he made it better. He laid it out. He came up with where the placement should be. And then the hard part started because, of course, you need a UPC. And then I wanted to have a little story on the bottle telling about the sauce, why I did it.
Right.
And when I got the ingredient list from the manufacturer, you know, it was really long, and I said, wow, there's a lot of stuff in here. And, you know, they explained it to me. Of course, you have to have certain stuff in there. But since the beginning of the year, this year, something new happened with labeling. You can't just put spices. You have to really enumerate every item that's in there. Mm-hmm. And then if you put anything that's a component already, some type of other thing that has ingredients in it, those ingredients have to be listed also. It's kind of a liability thing.
Right.
And my original ingredient list, I wanted it to say, ingredients, contains barbecue sauce. What did you think was in here? And the bottler said, no. And another friend of mine who's an attorney that, you know, I put the arm on, she said, no.
Right.
So, anyhow, that took up a big portion of the label because, and, you know, that label is valuable space. You don't really realize that until you start working on it, but it took up a big spot. And, you know, I kind of had the idea that I was going to put an award ribbon on there. And if you looked really close at the award ribbon, it was going to say, this is where our award would be if we ever got any, but I'm hoping. And, you know, that had to be pushed off because I needed a UPC.
Right.
And so all that I had to get laid out. So that stuff was going on in the background. So to get the label done, you know, I kind of nudged my friend a little bit. Okay, we're getting close here. You know, we need to get it. And then, of course, they had to go to a printer, and the printer had some modifications he had to make. So finally, it was actually last year about this time, I was hoping to get the sauce in the bottle before Christmas because that's what I was going to use for Christmas presents.
Yeah,
everybody
right.
was going to get sauce. And it didn't actually get into the bottle until April. So I was close. You know, really, at this time, I was going to say mid-November, and we're mid-November. Last year, and it finally in April, you know, it happened where it got bottled. So I think I kind of rambled on for your last question there.
No, it's all good information. How did you find this company that was going to make your barbecue sauce? Was this contacts through your wife, or did you just open up a phone book and look for a certain type of company?
I opened up the phone book and, I had Chicago Directory, business to business, and I looked in sauces, and in there was actually a spice company was listed in sauce, and I called that person up, and I said, listen, this is what I'm trying to do. And he said, well, he goes, for a small person, he goes, there's probably a couple places that would do it. And he referred me to two places, and I called one spot, and they said, well, we probably couldn't do it unless you were going to place, you know, a pretty sizable order. And that's
right.
when I went to the next spot and got through to that person. And, you know, they, like I say, I think they originally felt sorry for me. They did that small run. And when I went to the factory, they actually, I think the first run was about 200 gallons. And when I went there, out of all these giant things that they were using, you know, this, of course, was the smallest one. And, you know, believe it or not, they ran all this sauce off, and it took them maybe about an hour to run my run. And then they were going to the next run, and I said, well, how long does that next run go? And he goes, we're going to be running this machine for the next 10 hours
oh, wow.
on the next customer. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I can see why they don't do this much because, you know, they had to take the whole machine apart and clean it from the previous one. So they just kind of stuck me in there. So I really was appreciative, you know, of them giving me the chance.
Is it a pretty big financial undertaking for you to get this stuff sauced with this particular company, or do they set up some type of payment terms ahead of time, or how does that work out?
No, I had to pay them right up front. I actually I didn't have to pay them before. I paid them when they produced the sauce, which was good. And they did do this small run with the understanding that the next run was going to be a larger run.
Sure.
You know, because they couldn't, you know, and I really did understand their predicament with the machinery and whatnot. So I said, you know, okay, let's do it. And I actually ran through that first run. And, you know, when you get that, you figure a certain amount's going to be promotional. You know, you're going to have to give it away so people can test it out or talk about it or do whatever. And one of the things that happened right at the beginning there was I got lucky and wound up getting on the local AM radio, a talk show that's a food time show. And just, like I say, really lucky, I had happened to give a bottle of sauce to a person that I work with at the school. And they were telling another person who I know as well, but works at the radio station. And she said, well, that's the oddest circumstance because I'm doing this show and I was trying to figure out what to do for it on Sunday. And I was just going to do some restaurant reviews, but this sounds like an interesting idea. So on Friday, I get a phone call. Do you want to be on the radio on Sunday? And I said, well, that would be great. And she said, okay. She said, do you have a website where people can buy it? Well, I didn't yet because it was another one of those things that I put the arm on one of my friends that does website work, and she said, well, you better.
Right.
And then, of course, the next call went to my friend Tom, and I said, this is what I need. And he says, well, when do you need it? And I said, by Sunday. So actually, that was a Friday night call. So on Saturday, my friend Tom and another computer friend of mine, Keith, we met at the school and sat down at the computer. Actually, Tom sat down at the computer. He got up twice, once to have a slice of pizza and once to go to the bathroom. But by 12:30 in the morning, we had the website going really from nothing. All I had was a domain name. And my friend Keith helped me shoot pictures because we needed a product picture to put on there. And then we set up, you know, the merchant account and did all that kind of stuff and got that all going. And then Sunday wound up being on the radio for about an hour. And then when I got home, you know, there was the orders started coming through.
Sure.
And I didn't really realize the far-reaching power of that AM radio station. You know, I thought on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, you know, what am I doing? I'm barely awake. But I had truck drivers that had been driving through and heard it, you know, somebody from Oklahoma ordering and somebody from, you know, other places ordering. And I did get a lot of calls while we were there asking about how to get a product to market. And I still kind of correspond with a few people that are working on those type of things. And when I was there at the radio station, I made a list of people to thank. And I told my friend, Mary Pat, I said, you know, I made a list of everybody to thank, and it's a long list. And out of all those people, I'm the one that did the least amount of work. So it was kind of funny because, you know, I come up with the idea, but I didn't really do much after that. Well, I mean, you do stuff, but.
Sure.
But you asked about the outlay of money, and, you know, I kind of designated a certain amount of money on an advance for my Discover card. And that's how I got it going. And hopefully, you know, we're in the winter now, and I've been trying to send out some samples and get a little thing going. I have it in about a dozen independent stores. And, you know, I'm hoping when springtime comes, they'll be the ones that'll be reordering. And then I'm hoping to get it into another dozen or so stores and go from there.
So I'm going to backtrack a little bit. Now you have these 100 cases of barbecue sauce. What was your plan at that point to get it into the market, aside from, you know, getting the luck and being on the radio?
Well, my first plan was to have some of it because I actually had a bottle of it that I could use. You know, it was one of those things. And then after I sat down and talked about it, I talked to my wife about it. And she works for a food broker, but even for her company, I'm extremely small. You know, it's not a business that her company would even handle. But she has the ideas about going into stores, and so that's where her part kind of paid off. And we talked about it and said, well, we'll never make it into a big store. And really, I don't want to be in a big store. I want to be somewhat selective. And she said, well, let's ask a couple independent stores and see, you know, what they'll do. And so she did that for me and asked a few independent stores and talked to a few people. And luckily they said, yeah, let's give it a try. And we did a couple of samplings where, you know, a demo where you go in and you get to stick a piece of bread into the sauce and try it out. And people liked it and they started talking about it. And I actually had people then telling their friends, so that part worked out okay, but that was going quick last summer. You know, that summer season here, well, you're in Cleveland, you know how that goes. It's cold, it's warm, and then it's cold again pretty quickly.
And for longer than the hot.
Right. That's exactly right. So we got it into those stores, but my goal was to get it, try to get it into a dozen stores. I didn't want to set any kind of unrealistic goals, and we did do that. We got it out there. And, you know, the bonus was, of course, the radio part. And that helped because it drove people to the website. And I still get reorders from that. And it's one of those things where, you know, I'm pretty much doing most of the work. So I'm answering the emails. If somebody places an order, I'm the guy that packs it up and, you know, puts a little letter in there and does all that. And I was thinking, well, you know, when this thing hits really big, you know, I hate to have somebody else doing it because I kind of like doing that. You know, it's kind of a connection. But then I thought, no, that'd be okay. That'd be all right if I was sitting up in a warehouse someplace overseeing, you know, the, you know, like the king should be, right?
Yeah, the king should be on his throne watching the rest of the kingdom work for him.
Exactly.
So you're actually in charge of all the distribution of the sauce then?
Oh, yes. It all kind of comes down to me.
Wow. In your honest, unbiased opinion, of course, how does your sauce differ from ones that are already on the market?
The way I think it's different is there's a lot of sauces I think that are sweeter and a lot of sauces that have kind of more of a smoky flavor. And the thing that I liked about it was, in fact, a friend of mine who's in kind of into food, and he was going to open a pizza restaurant and whatnot, and a friend of his has a pizza restaurant, and they're selling ribs and whatnot. I let him taste the sauce, and he said, it tastes really interesting. And I said, well, kind of expand on it. He goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go get a sample of my friend's sauce, and we're going to kind of taste them side by side. So he brought the other sauce in, and I tasted it. And I thought when I tasted the other sauce, it didn't linger very much, you know, that aftertaste wasn't there real long. And I kind of liked that aftertaste. And then he tasted both sauces, and he goes, you know what, I don't like my friend's sauce anymore. And I go, why is that? And he says, you know, it's hard to explain, but it tastes cheap. And I go, what do you mean it tastes cheap? He goes, it's there, and then it's gone. It doesn't linger. So he had the same reaction that I did, you know, where he kind of had that aftertaste going. And then he wanted to have his friend sell it. And I said, you know, you got to kind of be careful about that, because people that are going into a restaurant or somewhere that like the taste of the sauce, that's what they're used to. You know, they like that flavor of the sauce. And to kind of pull a switcheroo on them, you know, and come up with something different may not work for everybody. And he kind of agreed, and he let his friend taste it, and he said he liked it, but he had the same reaction. So, but I think for mine, it kind of has a distinct taste. It's not like anybody else's sauce, and that lingering effect and the aftertaste, I think, is another big thing for me.
But for people that would want to know, this isn't your spicy Carolina vinegar sauce type barbecue sauce. This is more of a thicker tomato-based type sauce?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And it sounds like maybe you've only actually been the sauce king for maybe a year or so then.
Right. And, you know, it's easy to proclaim yourself, you know, the king of something.
Right.
Well, there is a little bit of a story to that. I don't know if it's how relevant it is, but if you want to hear, I can tell you.
Always relevant.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to work up a name, and you know, you always think about different things and different names and whatnot, but I had the crown part, and if you remember the Ferris Bueller movie, where Ferris Bueller goes into the restaurant and he says, you know, Abe Froman, party of, you know, four.
Yes, and, the Mayor sausage D, king of Chicago.
That's where the name came from. So, you know, because I have a pretty good sense of humor, and when my wife asked me, I said, well, I guess I'm going to have to be the sauce king of Chicago, but that's where the name came from. And then because I had the crown, it was almost like kind of a fate thing, because I knew I had that, and it kind of all put together, you know, that way. And then my friend worked on it, and, you know, he came up with our little slogan on the bottle that says a royal barbecue sauce. He came up with that. And, you know, so there the name was born. And like I say, easy to proclaim yourself king, but maybe hard to live up to sometimes. But I think the sauce holds up pretty well, you know, under the king status.
Yeah, I've actually tried it myself, and initially, well, with the top off, I was a little hesitant because I did kind of get that liquid smoke kind of sense to it. But then I did heat up some chicken thighs that I had done the other night, put the barbecue sauce on it, and much to my pleasure, it all kind of melded together and is actually a very good barbecue sauce. So, at least for me to say that, I only buy Sweet Baby Ray's and Stubbs barbecue sauce like out of a grocery store. So this is a sauce that I would buy, and I'm not just saying that because you're advertising on my site either. So second to my barbecue sauce, of course, because I'm the sauce king of Cleveland.
Okay.
How do people want to get in touch with you, aside from clicking on the banner on the homepage, if they're not available to do that? How would they want to get in touch with you to find out more about the sauce?
Probably the easiest thing, you know, they could email me through the site at sauceKingofChicago.com. They could email me there, but you know, I really have no business secrets. You know, I'm willing to share information with anybody. So if somebody wants to do something and, you know, they have a question about getting the sauce to market or something like that, you know, I'd welcome them to call me. They can call me on my cell phone. Can I go ahead and give the number now? Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead and give all your contact information.
Okay. Well, the website, of course, is saucekingofchicago.com. There's a link on there to email me. I would encourage people to go there. There's some recipes and whatnot. Even if you don't order anything, take a look at some of the customer comments. That's kind of an interesting section. And then if you want to give me a ring on my cell phone, it's area code 630-430-2487. Again, that number is 630-430-2487. And maybe I can kind of help somebody along, answer a few questions. You know, I wouldn't mind doing that. I kind of did it pretty much all myself. But, you know, I found a way to get a UPC. You know, it's, of course, thanks for the internet. But I did find a good company for a UPC, and, you know, any other information that I could help somebody with, I'd be glad to do it.
And, of course, members are always anxious to take advantage of any discounts or sales that I have from time to time with some podcast guests. Are you offering anything to the forum membership at this point?
Yes, actually, if you go to the website now, the sauce has been introductory priced at $3.99. It was supposed to go up actually a dollar a bottle. What I thought I would do is I'd leave it at the $3.99 a bottle, and then if somebody buys more than two bottles, up to six bottles, I can't really ship a case for the one bottle price, but if somebody wants to order multiple bottles, I'll be glad to ship it under that one bottle shipping price. So that actually saves you a few dollars there. So you can really get a couple bottles for the same price you would pay maybe someplace else for one bottle in shipping or two bottles in shipping. So they get a little bit of a deal there.
Yeah, that's a great deal. Absolutely.
And maybe if somebody, you know, goes to the site and tries the sauce, I love to hear comments. You know, they can email me and give me their comments, and hopefully they'll tell their friends.
Well, it's one thing we know, the barbecue community is definitely one to spread good word of mouth for anything good that they try, and hopefully that won't be anything else but the same type of event, you know, with people trying your sauce. So we'll certainly keep an eye out for those comments, and hopefully some business will be headed your way, Frank, truly.
Well, that's, you know, I certainly would appreciate that, and I appreciate you taking the time to interview me, and, you know, going to your site actually has been a great resource for me, just looking through what other people are asking and doing. So, you know, I'd encourage people to spend a little time, you know, looking through your site, too, because it is really interesting. It was interesting to me just to look through it all.
Well, thanks for that. Frank Jackwick is the Sauce King of Chicago, and certainly appreciate the time he has spent tonight talking about all of the intricacies of bringing a barbecue sauce to market. Frank, again, thanks for taking the time out to join me tonight, and good luck to you in the future.
Okay, thank you very much, Greg.
Take care.
Bye.
So once again, a special thanks to Frank Jackwick for taking the time out to talk to us tonight. Again, if you are interested in learning more about the Sauce King of Chicago, visit his website at www.saucekingofchicago.com. If you are a member of the Barbecue For You Forum, go onto the homepage. He does have a banner that's listed there. You can click on that and be taken directly to his website. And you can also call Frank on his cell phone at 630-430-2487. Again, that's 630-430-2487. Hey, guess what, folks? That's the podcast, and I am out of here.
Wolf Rub is the Halligan answer to bland food. Wolf Rub's special blend of spices, sugars, and salt is an award-winning barbecue rub that can be used right out of the shaker bottle on your table, too. Great on ribs, chicken, steaks, even popcorn and peanuts. Try the original Wolf Rub, a perfect blend of sweet and heat, or the new Wolf Rub Bold for an extra blast of flavor. Now available in small or large bottles, visit wolfrub.com to order. www.wolferub.com.